Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk on demand audio.
You know, a lot of times the music that I play for the bumps fits some of the themes of the show. And I thought about this song today from the Michael Stanley Band. Michael Stanley is very popular here in St. Louis. He passed away several years ago, and this is called My Town.
Love it.
I think we're thinking a lot about our town right now. And about an hour ago, Jane Duker, who will not be on the roundtable tomorrow because she's had some medical issues, she's fine, but I gave her the Friday off. She sent me an article from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Sue, and it's written by Joe Holloman. I know Joe pretty well. He's one of the better people at the Post-Dispatch.
Yep.
And, okay, so Jane sends it to me. I'm on the air here. I haven't had time to look at it. I look at it, and it says, staff members of the City Emergency Management Agency were at a one-day workshop on Friday when the deadly tornado struck. I'm like, oh, yeah, I knew that, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about that. Upon hearing that, residents may have assumed the day away from the office was designed to help SEMA employees better deal with emergencies such as tornadoes. Kind of makes sense, right? Joe even writes it this way. He goes, after all, the emergency management personnel were seven blocks away from their office, from where the tornado sirens could be activated on a day when severe weather had been predicted for hours. So here's what's interesting. As to the nature of the workshop, even mayoral staffers, when asked Monday, thought it was related to emergency response training. A look at the workshop description, however, indicates it was focused on communications of a less immediate variety. An invitation to the workshop obtained by the Post-Dispatch said, are you ready for it?
Oh, no.
Climate change will continue to create new uncertainties and pose disruptions, and that the workshop would help participants, quote, learn and develop skills to increase agility and collaboration in city functions so that employees can respond nimbly and effectively.
Oh, this is just...
Are you kidding me? This is an extension of a year-long partnership between SEMA and Air Collaborative. Now, this is going to be interesting. We've got to get the receipts on this. Air Collaborative is a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit. The invitation said that the workshop would deal with the nonprofit's AirShift program, which is detailed on the website. The program, the site says, is designed to help people to discover new ways to think about the power of creativity and challenge your mental models about art, business, community, and money. And it uses hands-on collaboration, design thinking, and business planning to help grow creative communities and economies. Here it gets better. Are you ready? By the way, I'm freaking shocked that the Post-Dispatch printed this.
I kind of am too.
I'm shocked. Here it is. At no place in the website description are the words emergency response used. I mean, you have got to be freaking kidding me. It says Beth Flowers, the executive director of this group, had longstanding ties to the St. Louis area. She has not left, they've left messages. She's not responded. Her website biography mentions attending U City High School in the early 80s. Oh, they're lucky that that's even standing right now, right?
Yeah.
She worked for Freeman Bosley Jr. So this has Tish written all over it. I'm not going to tag Kara with this because there's a good chance that maybe she didn't know what this is about. But let's face it. This is what these progressives do.
It is.
Think about the dynamics of this. There's tornadoes coming in. This is not a surprise. Dave Murray, Steve Templeton, they're all talking about this. They're seven blocks away so they can learn and develop skills to increase agility and collaborations in city functions so they can, here's the words again, respond nimbly and effectively.
Now, we know that they know that was happening, so they did not say, all right, we're giving this up, let's go back to the office, this is obviously a day where, nope.
Well, we got to find that out. This Sarah Russell, who was the head of SEMA, who's on paid leave, are you kidding me? Why can't we just fire someone's ass in government? Are you freaking kidding me? This is outrageous, what happened. And, you know, this gets out, the city's going to be in more trouble. You know why? Because people are going to sue the city. You know why they're going to sue the city? Because the city deserves to have their ass sued if this is what they're doing.
Unbelievable.
As livid as I was about all of this, and this is what Jane said, that's incredible. It is incredible that that information's coming out. Oh, my freaking God. I'm just reading this. I just read it at the top of the hour, and we're going to cover some other things, but I promise you that will be up for debate on the roundtable. That is stunning reporting.
And wouldn't you think that the woman who was in charge, what's her name again?
Sarah Russell.
The one on paid leave. All right, listen, we have a serious weather situation. It's time to get out of here. Let's go back to the nothing.
No, you know why? Because she's a DEI hire. Because all these damn people that Tishara put in, Lyda Crewson did the same thing. She sucked too. Lyda Crewson was no better. No better than Tishara. And I don't know that Kara Spencer is going to be any better. But if she doesn't root out this crap, I'm about to have to use the dump button on myself.
I know.
I'm so pissed off right now. Oof. Unbelievable.
How about if you're a person in North County?
Yeah, how would you feel about
North
that?
City, that I find this out.
Well, they're going to find it out.
They should
find it out. And they should be protesting at City Hall. And Kara Spencer better have some damn answers. And she better figure out how to get someone on paid leave that's going to get her ass fired and not on paid leave and protected from lawsuits.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe this. There's a lot of things that happen in this city, Sue, that, you know, unreal. Dwayne Patterson is here. He's going to join us on the Big Beautiful Bill. Here's what Mike Johnson said.
On this vote, the yeas are 215, the nays are 214, with one answering present. The bill is passed.
There you go. Dwayne, thank you for indulging me on my rant here because we had a devastating tornado that came through. It's not gotten a lot of national coverage because we've been focusing, you know, a lot of the networks have been focusing on Kentucky.
Oh, I know the story. I know the story, Mark. I actually have been up on that story this morning, and it's always great to join my good friends in St. Lahaina with their city workers.
Oh, my gosh. I'm speechless right now, and I'm not often speechless. I cannot, two things.
Why Sarah Russell has not been just outright fired and sued
This is going to make it worse for the city.
The lawsuits coming into St. Louis are going to be off the charts.
And we don't have money to begin with. You know why? Because they've talked about reparations. You probably don't know this. We had millions of dollars from a settlement that we sued the NFL when the Rams left. Millions. We had millions of ARPA money, and they haven't spent it on anything productive. We can't get 911 calls operated or handled, and we can't obviously press a damn button for a tornado siren because you got a climate change conference that's going on.
We out in California, we got a emergency alert on everybody's phones in a 5-county range. 20 million, 25 million people got this alert on their phones that there was a earthquake going to happen somewhere, they thought. They didn't know where. It turned out to be a 4.0 earthquake, which is not even like what a stage 2 tornado damage would do. And everybody in Southern California got the freak out over this, having this alert on their phone saying, pull over right now. Earthquake coming, imminent danger, seek cover. And it's like, okay, they don't know what they're talking about. I get they've got this new toy, and that was the problem in reverse. They had some idiot that said, we're going to hit the button every time we can even blink because we think it's a cool new toy and we don't want to get sued, so we're going to condition people to ignore the alerts. Whereas in St. Louis's situation, we now have a DEI hire who only has one job. One job.
That's it.
And it only requires one finger.
I'm just speechless here. But let's talk about some Washington stuff, because honestly, I admitted this a little earlier this afternoon. I've had some questions about the details of the Big Beautiful Bill. There's a lot of spending in here. It narrowly passed. I think even did Chip Roy ended up voting yay in the end?
Yes, he did.
Okay,
yes,
tell me your take on this, because, you know, the details are hard. These are big, big, beautiful bills are big and large, right? So what's your take on what they did, and what are the chances in the Senate, and what might be changed?
Oh, I think the chances are pretty good in the Senate. Here's the overview, and then we'll bore down as you want. The overview is there are two axioms in life. Did you ever watch The Princess Bride
when you were a kid? And not only did I watch it when I was a kid, of course, I made my daughter watch it a couple years ago, and she loved it.
Okay, well, there are two axioms in life. One is never get involved in a land war in Asia. And the second one is don't bet against Mike Johnson. Because you know what? Everybody likes to pile on him, but he just keeps racking up wins. He just keeps finding a way to pull this off. So what's going to come out of this basically is all the tax cuts that we've been enjoying for the last, what, 7-8 years, they're going to stay. There's lots of good things in this. There's some bad things in it, but the bottom line is this going to be a net positive? Absolutely, it's going to be a net positive, because I guarantee you, everybody having to pay a bunch more in taxes next year, and it would have affected everybody. 97% of the country would have seen some tax increase. That's all good stuff. Now, what's going to happen big picture? It goes to the Senate. The Republican senators are not going to go along with a $40,000 SALT deduction. They're just not going to go along with that because that costs too much money. That costs something like $350 billion.
Didn't they raise just to stop you, you said 30. Didn't they raise it to 40? Wasn't it 40 in the final bill?
It was 40 in the final bill with a cap of, you know, an income level of like 750 or something
like
that.
Okay, all right, I got you.
But what they're going to do is that's going to cost the overall bill $350-400 billion, and the Senate Republicans are just too squeamish for that. So what they're going to do is they will negotiate and they will compromise and they'll come up with some kind of a lower number, or they may strip it out entirely and pass their version. It's going to go to a conference committee anyway. The bills like this always do. They're going to do what they're going to do. It's going to go to conference committee, and these Northeast Republicans that had to show their constituents, "I'm sick enough for it. We got to do this." They now can say, "Well, I got it in the bill. I did my job. It's those nasty senators. Go sick them. Go take it up with them.
Right.
They've now got an out, right? But it's going to go to conference, and when it goes to conference committee after it passes the Senate, the conference is going to be, or the compromise is going to be 20,000, or it might be 25,000. It's going to be somewhere about half that, and it's going to be a cost of the overall bill of $150 billion instead of 350 or something like that, and everybody can live with it and move on. And Trump's going to sign it, and you're going to see the stock market take off.
Well, let's talk about compromise, because that tends to be a dirty word. And I support, when I heard Chip Roy came out yesterday and say, look, we have questions about this, I support the questions. You have to look into some of this stuff. We've seen the Republicans be way, way too comfortable with a lot of spending. But on the other hand, as you know, being in California, there are different types of Republicans in California that still make up this majority in Congress, that still vote for this bill, that still support President Trump. They're not exactly like middle of the country Missouri Republicans. So you have to figure out a way to get people on board, or everyone's taxes go up.
And my answer, absolutely 100% correct. And my answer to all of this, and I had a tweet about this earlier on. I may have even incorporated it into a hot air column. But one of the things I said is, if you want to see what media bias is doing the protection racket, as knowing what they knew about Biden and Harris, in spite of everything, still doing the protection racket, because at the bare minimum, knowing that they were probably going to lose, they could at least try to keep it close and keep the House close. The media probably costs us half a dozen House seats at a minimum, I would estimate. If you don't like the compromise word, the big C word that hardcore Republicans like me don't like, is compromise. If you don't like that, the answer is give me 30 more Republicans in the House. Give me 40 more Republicans. And then the Northeast Republicans that want the SALT or else, or the Tom Massey's out of Kentucky, they're irrelevant, right?
Yeah. Well,
give me a quantity, because quantity of Republicans is a quality all of its own. Once we get a big margin in the House and we get upwards of 60 Republicans in the Senate, then you can start talking to me about culling the herd.
Well, that's right. I mean, that's the reality of politics, and that's the reality of the swamp. So I'm shocked that they got it through this week. They said they were going to, but to your point, Mike Johnson's kind of exceeded some expectations here. Let's talk about the media and the cover-up and all this Biden stuff right now. Have you guys had Alex Thompson or Jake Tapper on the show or not?
We have not had either one. We did have John Allen and Amy Parnes for a long interview about their book, and we asked the same hard questions, which was, where is the media culpability? And they did not want to go down that road. Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson do not want to necessarily go down that road, although there is daylight between Alex Thompson and Jake Tapper. They both did individual interviews. Jake Tapper was willing to go so far as saying, absolutely, there was a cover-up by the Democrats.
And then, no,
but
even
I'm sorry.
Further. Yeah, he said the conservative media was right. Look, Megyn Kelly smoked him. I played the audio 24 hours ago. She kicked his ass all over the place. I can't believe he took it. But here's the problem. A lot of people aren't giving attention to that. Not even Fox is giving attention to that.
No, probably not so much. But again, where do people consume all of their media from? It's not as much on TV anymore. It's all over online, and you know, Megyn Kelly's podcast numbers are rivaling Joe Rogan's numbers these days. So there's plenty.
No, that's good.
It's going to get around. Let's
okay,
put
but
it
let me way. Let me play this because this is from 2 days ago. And if I would play this to most people, you would think, oh, this has to be an archive cut from a long time ago. This is on PBS, and why we're not defunding the living crap out of them right away, I don't know. Nawaz and Tamra Keith. Here we go.
Also seen Republicans pounce in a way that should have been expected, maybe. But Donald Trump Jr. has posted online claiming that the diagnosis here was part of a wider cover-up around Mr. Biden's health. He's also repeating unfounded claims that Biden clearly had dementia. Is this the kind of thing that you see picking up steam among Republicans?
Well, unfounded claims? Are you kidding me? They're still acting like none of this happened.
I know. On NBC, and you asked the question, why isn't PBS being defunded? The short answer is the Senate parliamentarian decided that the PBS funding part is not qualifying for the reconciliation package, meaning if you defund them, you have to get 60 votes because it is under a normal cloture deal. So again, you want to get rid of PBS? Find five of your favorite Democrats that you want to throw out of office. And work to get them thrown out of office and replaced. You get 60, and you're going to get PBS gone.
And that's why I'm afraid that we're not going to get it gone, unfortunately, the public fund. I don't care what they do. I don't care what they do. They can be out there all they want, but I don't want my tax dollars going to them at all. Nobody's tax dollars.
I totally agree with you. But again, that's what the system is as far as legislation. That can only be done if it passes a cloture vote, which is 60 votes. So NBC this week, they went back to the same sources that lied to everybody for the last 4 years. They went to the Biden camp and said, well, our sources, Kelly O'Donnell, our sources tell us in the Biden office that Joe Biden, by gum, he just found out on Friday. That's when he first got the diagnosis. And because they're reporting it to us, that's what we're reporting to you. Never once did it occur to him that these people lied to us for 4 years. Maybe we should not believe what they're telling and just be the stenographer and repeat what they're telling us.
You know there are things that defy common sense. Like, you know, the crazy notion that maybe a lab that specialized in viruses leaked out COVID from Wuhan. Okay, pretty common sense. Even Bill Maher said, I wonder if there's chocolate in Hershey, Pennsylvania. This is another one of those things with a cancer diagnosis. And I'm sorry if I'm not empathetic to Uncle Joe, but I'm not in this case because they covered it up and everyone knows it. They're just not admitting it again.
Do I have time for the two dumbest takes of the week by media?
Yes.
Okay. First is Chuck Schumer on the Senate floor being repeated by MSM that the Mexican ship that lost power and drifted into the Brooklyn Bridge and killed a couple people and injured a bunch of others, he thinks that's Donald Trump and DOGE's fault because of Coast Guard cuts.
Of course he does.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I heard Sue in the background. She's like, "What?"
Yeah,
you
heard her. You're right.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I got a good hearing. I'm a radio guy. That's Chuck Schumer's call. He thinks it's a DOGE thing that the Coast Guard went into the boat and turned off the engine so that they could cruise into the bridge. That's the first real dumb hot take of the day. The second one, after the tragic, and I mean the awful of infuriating anti-Semitic attack on the two Jewish diplomats in D.C. last night. You had somebody on CNN by this morning, or on their early show, named Kerry Cordero, who suggested that the reason the two Jewish diplomats got killed was because Donald Trump had diverted resources to go deport illegal aliens.
Unbelievable. I did not hear that one, but that I guess we shouldn't be shocked.
It's outrageous. It's just outrageous.
You know, we didn't even touch, we could do a whole hour on this. I couldn't even do it yesterday. Nobody's still talking about the meeting with Trump with the South African president, which was just remarkable, wasn't it?
He had clusters of brass in calling him out the way he did to his face and playing the video, playing the 4-minute video. Today, in the White House press briefing, Carolyn Leavitt had to take a question from Yamiche Alcindor of NBC News, who's saying, well, everybody denies this. Everybody denies this. It didn't happen. And Leavitt's like, I will refer to you as far as the crosses on the road, the memorial for the white farmers that have been killed, that you're denying is happening. That was an Associated Press story. Your argument's not with me. Take it up with your fellow media types in this room who reported that.
They're never going to learn. This is what we're realizing in the aftermath of even Jake Tapper taking a big ass whooping. They are not going to learn. And you know as well as I do that Jake Tapper will be back on as soon as he finishes the book tour with all his bull, and he's going to be sliding in the other direction. Dwayne, I wish we could talk longer. Thank you so much for being patient with me this afternoon. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, and apologies for whoever took off your beard.
See ya.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh man, I'm so fired up about these tornado sirens and this latest story. And I have TJ Moe with us right now, former Mizzou standout, former NFL player. He contributes to Jason Whitlock at Fearless. He's also doing more stuff on Instagram I saw the other day. Dude, I don't even know where to start with you. There's so much to talk about. How are you, first and foremost?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
Well, I'm worked up. Did you see this story that Joe Holloman did in the Post-Dispatch this afternoon about this conference that the person that was supposed to press the button for the sirens was at? Have you seen this yet?
I saw your tweet about 5 minutes ago that you were irate.
You have to read it. You will not believe the details. They were over there talking about climate change and stuff like that, 7 blocks away. I know. It's funny if it wasn't for people don't have homes to live in right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, if it could have saved any of the 5 lives we lost, that would have been an upside. Obviously, we weren't going to stop with the sirens. We're going to stop the tornado from damaging the 5,000 homes.
But I get that.
I am irritated that anybody's having meetings about climate change. You can, and that's being taxpayer dollars are being used for that. Chalk me up for irritation on that.
Well, let me take you into some categories that I haven't even talked about here. And you have a tweet that has a lot. And this is a longer piece of audio, but I haven't talked about the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese situation. So can you first explain that to the audience, what happened? And by the way, in my opinion, I think the video that got out there, of course, from the legacy media is extremely misleading because it doesn't show that there was a foul that was very, very violent from Angel Reese. And that's why Caitlin Clark pushed her. So explain the dynamics of that story, because this is very interesting. And then there's the follow-up of this guy, Ryan Clark, and what he said.
So it was the opener. Obviously, anybody who's watched, the only reason the majority of the WNBA audience is there is because of Caitlin Clark. And she started a rivalry with Angel Reese in college. LSU played Iowa in the championship. And Angel Reese came up and taunted her after the game. And that's the only reason Angel Reese is popular at all. Truly, to be honest with you, that is it. She taunted Caitlin Clark, and that's her one claim to fame. And so there's been this made-up rivalry that has carried into the WNBA. And so, the Fever are winning by, I think they won the game by like 35. So it's not a close game. But Angel Reese, who, you know, she is a rebounding machine. She's, you know, think Dennis Rodman sort of. Can't score any points. She, you know, half her rebounds are her own misses on offense, but she is a rebounding machine. So she's standing next to the rim. I think they're down 20 or so. And she shoves, I don't know if it was Aaliyah Boston, somebody out of the way, like very clearly two arms, throws this girl on the ground, grabs a rebound. And because she's so incapable offensively, takes a minute to gather herself. You can see Caitlin Clark look around. And then she does what's called a take foul. Like, hey, make her earn the 2 points.
Right.
And look, Caitlin is not a big girl. Anybody who's watched, Caitlin's not a big, strong girl that's thrown anybody around. She went over there, and it was a total flop. I don't even buy. A lot of people are saying, kind of like you did, that she pushed her because Caitlin saw that Angel Reese pushed somebody else. I don't buy that. I think she went over there and just fouled her and made sure that she couldn't get an easy 2 points. Not that it would have been easy for Angel Reese, but it would be easy for somebody else. And so just took a foul. And Angel Reese lost her mind. And so that's how all this started. Everybody's got a take on that.
Right. Everyone's got it. But there's a racial component because Caitlin Clark is white and Angel Reese is not. And then Ethan just kind of guided me into this. I guess, is this a podcast that this Ryan Clark was doing with RG3?
No. Ryan Clark has a podcast called The Pivot. That's his own. It's basically a knockoff of the I Am Athlete podcast that Brandon Marshall does. And so those two have a riff. But RG3 has his own podcast. I can't remember the name of his, but they work together on ESPN where Ryan Clark works during the day. RG3 was let go earlier this year, right before football season, at the same time that Sam Ponder was, I think in August. And so they have different podcasts, and RG3 on his own podcast made some comments that super woke Ryan Clark found offensive.
And that's because, and what did he say? He said something because this goes.
No, he said the most. No, he said RG3 said the most obvious anybody with a brain and a pair of eyeballs observation. Man, Angel Reese really hates Caitlin Clark. That's true. Anybody who's got a brain acknowledges those things. And that's when Ryan Clark came in and called him out and said, hey, man, you don't get an opinion on this. You're married to a white woman.
Yeah, that's what he says. Now, that's kind of blown up, right? That aspect of it. And it should. So what is RG3? Like, what's his position been the last couple of days since that's happened?
Well, RG3 made a video, which is like the perfect kind of video to make, where he backed off and he's like, man, I gave an opinion on the mm-hmm. court. I didn't make it personal. I said, like we all do, man, it sure seems like she hates her. And I didn't say, hey, she's probably going to go burn her mom's house down. I said, man, on the court, they got problems. And you came in and started talking about my wife. What is wrong with you? And so sort of went with the everybody should have sympathy play, which is a good play in this case, because, you know, there's a weird component to all of this, too. Ryan Clark, his firstborn, was with a white woman. So Ryan Clark's been fishing in that pond, too.
Yeah, that's
and that's what a lot of people are saying. And then, look, it's just Ryan Clark sits around, and he's married to a black woman now. But my guess and general instinct is that his family probably sits there and notices that and is reminded every day, hey, Ryan, you were with a white woman and all that. And Ryan is sitting around trying to prove how black he is all the time. And he's got to stand there and stand up for black women. You're not sitting there having these conversations. Well, it's like, hold on a minute. RG3's mom's not black. RG3 doesn't have two black sisters, which he does. But where are we getting this idea that you have to sit around and these black women are a totally different species, and unless you're married to one and sit and talk about their problems all day, you couldn't possibly understand them, like they're subhuman. It is a crazy thing. If you're a black woman, you should be offended by Ryan Clark's comments to begin with. But the reality is Ryan Clark is just out-woking himself every day.
So a couple weeks ago I was in Greece, and I tried to stay away from the news, but I saw this thing that Bill Belichick had sat down for the Sunday morning show on CBS, and I saw one of your tweets. And then I watched that interview, and I think one of the things that you said is Bill Belichick is ruining his legacy right now, and now we're finding out he might be engaged. What's going on with that guy?
So the reason I think he's ruining his legacy, hopefully everybody's got a background on this, he's dating a 24-year-old and Belichick 73. And so a 49-year difference is pretty substantial, obviously. And so Belichick, the reason I say he's ruining his legacy, because in my opinion and in my experience with him when I spent a year up there, His legacy was a no-nonsense, do-your-job. That's going to be on his tombstone. Bill Belichick, date-dash-date, do-your-job. That's it. And he is, for the first time in his life, creating the distraction. That is what's destroying his legacy. He always says, I mean, he used to have this board when we'd walk in, and when you'd go out, he'd say, ignore the noise, and there were these, you know, four things on it. And it was all about distractions. Mm-hmm. Don't buy the hype, ignore the noise, whatever, whatever. And he is the distraction now with this 24-year-old girl. And the whole thing to me is crazy. What is he doing? I don't know. But, like, I always think, hey, don't ignore your instincts, okay? Everybody's sitting here trying to, like, concoct this explanations for why this is okay and why it's totally fine. Let him do whatever he wants, which free country obviously can do whatever he wants. But if everybody's asking the question, then we all know this is weird. Let's not just ignore that. Like, it's weird. It's strange. What it's a business arrangement for her. Obviously she bought $8 million in real estate shortly after they started dating. She didn't have that money. You know, she was a cheerleader and is a daughter of a fisherman. Okay, it's not like she had all sorts of money. She bought several condos, obviously on Bill Belichick's dime, and she, you know, is going to be entitled to some of that wealth. And the arrangement is, hey, you got to go around, and Bill Belichick gets a 24-year-old on his arm, and he gets to sleep with you. And that seems like a very weird arrangement. And if your instincts say that's weird, you're correct, and we shouldn't just ignore that.
A lot of the audience is probably familiar with you. Maybe some people aren't familiar with what you do on Twitter and Facebook. I've become a fan. We've known each other for a while. But I saw that you have a little bit more use for Instagram these days. You want to explain that?
You know, over the last – so what I do full time is real estate. And what I've kind of discovered over the last 5 years is, like, the more that I meet people and create a community, the better – first of all, the more fun it is, but also the better I am at it. Like, you buy more houses from people, you make more connections, you can help way more people. It just becomes a way better experience. And so what I'm hoping to do on Instagram, and part of this I've learned from my wife, who's in, like, those Facebook mommy groups. And it's like, anytime she has a problem, she posts on there. For instance, my newborn, I've got a 1-month-old, had a bacterial infection, and she posted a picture on there, and there were like 5,000 comments of people trying to help her, because there's this, like, tight-knit mommy group where everybody feels like they know each other, they're all going through the same stuff, they got the same values, at least as it relates to these children. And so what I'm hoping to do on Instagram, which you can follow me if you want, at TJMo28, is create some sort of deal where, like, we have that in life, and I've got a certain set of values. Obviously, I'm not shy about them. I'm Christian. I care about fatherhood. I care about trying to be a good husband. I care about real estate. I like sports. And it's like, there's a ton of people who like all of those things and could give advice, particularly as it relates to fatherhood and marriage and that kind of stuff. And so my hope is that we can kind of create a community that exists like that, because I've seen what it's done in real estate, and it is so beneficial day to day. It'd be kind of fun to have that in real life.
I love it. You know, I'm a fan, so I was very curious when I saw that. Give the handles out for all the socials so people know where to find you.
Yep, it's at TJMo28. I should drop the 28 at some point because I haven't played football for a very long time, but that is what I created when I was playing. And so same on Twitter, same on Instagram. You can just search my name on Facebook if you want to. I'm way more political on Facebook than anywhere. And honestly, that's not a place to create community. Unless you're in one of those groups, you get on Facebook, it's a toxic wasteland.
Oh, it is.
But Instagram doesn't have to be. I get a ton of DMs from people on Instagram, and there's, like, very thoughtful people. You get good book recommendations, you get good advice on different things, and there's way more, like, humor and enjoyment. It seems like that's where people actually get to know each other.
Yeah,
so that's why I'm leaning into
it. I like Instagram as well. Now, I don't post as much as I used to. I do post on my bunnies page, which is Oreo Smorio the Bunny. You can follow Oreo, TJ, if you'd like. He's my spiritual guide these days. And by the way, congratulations on the baby. I missed that headline, so I didn't know you had a newborn.
Thank you. That's our third child. So I got a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and now a 1-month-old. If it's up to me, we're halfway there. My wife wants 4. I want 6. So my hope is that we'll compromise and have 6.
Wow. You're a busy guy. Good for you. All right, dude. Thank you so much. Great to hook up.
Yep. Thanks, Mark.
All right. See, we'll see you. That's TJ Mo. He's awesome. Follow him.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I have to promote ahead here to the roundtable tomorrow. This story, and I just put it on Twitter, that Joe Holloman, I honestly cannot believe that the Post-Dispatch published it, because it is so damning for Sarah Russell and this emergency management agency that was at a conference about climate change and nonsense, and they weren't pressing the button. So that's going to be the leading topic on the roundtable tomorrow. Jeff Rainford will be here. He had tornado damage, of course. Jane, we're giving the weekend off because she had some issues herself this week. She's okay. Steve Butts will be here. Brad Young, also on the panel.
Good.
Let's do this before we leave.
Stand by. Playback ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
Okay, I don't know if I can do this fast, but there was this amazing meeting with the president of South Africa yesterday with Trump, confronting him about the killings of white farmers in South Africa. And there's still no real definitive answer from the legacy media and the fact checkers out there about what's really happened. But how about this discussion on with Scott Jennings on CNN?
Just do not want to.
What do you
leave.
Think the phrase "kill the white farmers" means?
Yeah, that's a phrase that ANC, okay. That was a phrase that, you know, was against the anti-apartheid movement. But the ANC, who's ruling the government, the president's government, has disavowed that phrase, has disavowed any songs. And there's no evidence that white people are being targeted. And the majority of Afrikaners do not want to leave.
They're not a part of the government, Scott. You're taking a fringe movement and you're trying to make it a characteristic.
It is the height of racism. It is the height of racism to say that white people have to be exempted from all violence in any society. And that is what is said, that is what is being said here. If we cannot say, there is no white genocide happening, there is no farm genocide happening, and the argument is some white people have been killed, even though 27,000 murders happened in that country. What are we saying? If anybody of one racial group is murdered, then that constitutes a refugee status for that particular group.
When the president has also ended the refugee program
for all other people.
They all are on different pages. They don't know what they're saying. Jennings is trying to do his best, holding his own there at CNN. But we'll talk about that issue tomorrow as well, because I haven't given it enough attention. Have a great night.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.